the El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And thank you, Ross Mitchell. And, oh, that was that Ross? What? I'm awfully sorry. Phil will be here in just a moment. This is Art Bell. A very pleasant good evening to all of you, no matter where you are. Phil will be here in just a moment.
Thank you, though, man. I appreciate that, brother.
That's all right, Phil. We all stick together as broadcasters. Now I've got to go back to Philippines.
All right, thank you.
And this music is maudlin, isn't it? It's very Catholic.
It is. It's very Catholic. So, all right. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico.
And tonight is going to be a bit of a grab bag because of the last few days thrown off physically. I had a lot of junk food thrown into me, a lot of poisonous sugars, a really good food. And as the result, I feel like a bloated thing today, Margaret Gray.
Well, Phil, oh, thank you. That's a very classy, as they say.
Yeah, he tossed it to you.
Yeah, I know he tossed it. Oh, did he toss it to me?
Yeah.
Anyway, Phil.
Easy, bud.
That was a very classy way of throwing things to me. How do you feel?
I feel good, except, as I said, it was 3 days with the wonderful people on the Marin TV show. A classy bunch of people, happy crew. And as I said, good food. So what happens is you eat a lot of chocolate bars. That's what I was trying to get at, you know.
Well, what's wrong with that, Phil?
Chocolate bars, nothing wrong with that, except it puts on weight, and it's a lot of sugar, and it's not the way I eat anymore, General, you know?
Yeah, you're eating more of a free health food, right?
Well, not health food.
No, not health foods. I'm just eating better, man. I eat a lot of low-calorie stuff, greens and low-cal protein, and that's my thing, you know, all of that, what, Robert?
Well, what about that whey powder?
Yeah, what is that powder you got?
Oh, that I know that. That's the protein powder, correct?
Yeah, protein powder, I eat that. And so when I went and I did the show, there's a lot of food on set that they have, which is for energy, and it isn't necessarily the kind of thing that's going to keep your fat ass from getting any fatter, but nonetheless, I ate it. And so it kind of throws you off a little bit, and that's why I'm feeling today like I'd much rather just be sleeping or laying down.
In other words, you want to just lay on a floor and watch television?
Well,
you want to lay on... Frank does that on occasion, and Jason J. Delmonico, when they feel as if they've been really working hard or studying hard, and they eat a lot of cheese sandwiches and donuts and cream puffs, then they just want to lay on a floor, and hopefully if you could mount the television on the ceiling.
Yeah, then they'd stare at the...
Yes, they'd stare at the TV on the ceiling.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how I feel, but it's nice to be back with everybody anyway. And again, our thanks to the fine folks there at Marin. And when that show is about to air, I'm sure we're going to find out when. We'll let you know, and you will see, as I will, the end result of all of those efforts. And yesterday, I don't want to tell you anything about what we did, but yesterday was a quote. I shouldn't say quote. Well, yeah, I'll put it in quotes because it may mean one thing to some people and something else to others. It was a very physical day. In my book, that means, you know, you're moving your body around a lot, and that's what was happening. And so I got home last night, and then today woke up. And what happens after you've had a pretty physical day, you know, whether you're lifting weights or riding a bike or you've been in a prize fight or you've been in a football game or you've been moving furniture, is you're sore. And that was me, you know.
Well, Phil, you're not a spring chicken. What are you trying to do anyway?
What do you mean, what am I trying to do?
Well, what she's saying, Phil, is you're not a young man anymore.
I'm not a young man, so...
Well, you're probably going to, well...
Yeah, do you feel like you're going to get injured?
No, I didn't feel like I was going to get injured, no. I didn't feel like I was going to get injured at all. The only thing that happens when you... If you guys are talking about getting older, you're going to get injured because you're doing... The only thing that happens to you when you're older is you don't get injured so much as you get tired. You probably get tired a lot faster. I don't feel like I'm any weaker. I feel like I'm just, you know, I can't hang in as long as I used to. But I don't feel, to be honest with you, I don't feel any, and I was working with people yesterday. Nobody, in other words, yesterday.
Phil, it's all right. You don't have to go into a big, long explanation.
No, I feel like I should go into an explanation now. Nobody yesterday, when I was asked to do what I did in this particular scene, nobody said to me, oh, he's too old. You better not have him do that. No, it wasn't even mentioned. you know, you just went ahead and did it.
Well, maybe they... Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I was there, wasn't I?
That's it. So no one said, don't hurt the old man.
Yeah, you didn't hear that? No, nobody said, don't hurt the old man.
All right, Phil, don't get so defensive. We're just...
Yeah, you gotta make sure.
Well, Margaret, I think that's a bit offensive, but to recap, Phil, even though she's going over the line, no one said, don't hurt that old guy.
No one said that. Jesus. Nobody said that. Like I said, the only thing that I've noticed about, if you want to talk about getting older, the only thing I've noticed about it is, yeah, you tire out more. But in terms of physical strength, that's not an issue. I bet you there's a lot of other people my age that would say the same thing. Because there's young people who think, oh, you get old and you get enfeebled and you're weak and you this and that. No, if you're in relatively good health, the only thing that happens is you sort of like, I don't feel like working the extra 2 hours that I used to work. I don't want, you know, I want to go home now instead of like in another three. In other words, you're lazier because, you know, there are more fun things on television.
Yay!
Exactly. All right, so what else has been happening in this world? One of the things that I did notice was the area that we were working, and it was an old neighborhood in the city of Los Angeles. Old neighborhoods are great. I don't know if you're into the history thing like I am, but... One of the things that I really like about, you know, the world of history is obviously anything that you can be around that is historic. Not just read about it in a book, but you're around it. And in Los Angeles, like in any city in this country, anywhere you go, you find old buildings, old places that are just fascinating, you know.
Well, yes, but when I went to the Sundance with you, not Sundance, but we went to Aspen that year.
Well, we were in Aspen for the... No, we weren't in Aspen. We were in Park City.
Yeah, that's it. Park City. We went to Park City, Utah, ladies and gentlemen. Phil did a remote broadcast from the local stations there.
All right, you're starting to get that lazy lip again, Margaret.
I'm what?
No, Phil's right. Just you're beginning to get into that. You're going, when we went to Park City that year.
Oh, would you? The two of you grow up a little bit.
All right, but just don't do the whole, we went to Park City that year.
I want people to understand the import of what we did. We went to Park City. Just let me do it my way. One year, Phil and I went to, along with the show staff, to Park City, Utah for a remote broadcast. And it was at that time that I did see on one of the streets there in Park City a building that was pointed out to me, but I already knew because I got a very uneasy feeling around it.
You're talking about that one building that used to be a brothel.
Yes, I'm talking about the one building that used to be a brothel. You don't have to throw it off, Phil. It's very serious.
Yo, it's just serious about that. Are you nuts or something?
Don't do it, bud. Don't laugh. Not this early in the evening.
All right, we what happened, folks?
You don't need to explain it, Phil. I already did.
Yeah, I know, but I want people to get the... I want to give them the full picture here. We went up the street on our way up to the broadcast site, which was in Deer Valley. And we're in Park City, and Deer Valley is just the little snow area there, or the skiing area.
The snow, yes, it's called the snow area. Get him.
Yeah, it's called the ski area, not the snow area.
Well, haven't you ever been skiing before?
Actually, I've only been skiing once.
You gotta be kidding me.
That's right. Only skiing one time in my life. Snow skiing?
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't turn me on at all. I like the snow, and I like to sit and drink whatever the hell it is you drink in front of the fire. And I don't mind going out and snowshoeing and throwing snowballs. Skiing, I couldn't give a sweet damn. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, you anti-so... Boy, that's...
Woo!
That is huge.
So you're willing to stand by that?
Yes, I'm willing to stand. We got to take a break. Is that okay?
Well, you want a break now, and you've just made a rather monumental statement.
Hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break, and we can get into the terrible, monumental, and destructive thing I've just said, that I've never been snow skiing before in my life. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass gets you a subscription access to our website, where you can watch our video cast each and every night, get the podcast of our radio show each day, the next day. You get the entire archive of our radio show going back 15 years. Some of the most groundbreaking, revolutionary radio ever heard in the history of mortal man on this planet. And then, of course, if you're over at TuneIn, you can listen to the show tonight. That's right. With a TuneIn app, you've got the Phil Hendry Show live 7 to 10 Pacific. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show continues.
And anyway, welcome back here. Thank you, Bert Bertengel. I don't know who that was. Just
some man that walked in.
Some guy, very good announcer, just walked in here. Now he's just walked right out again. And he had a bottle of, it looked like, Red Mountain Wine.
Ooh, yeah.
So anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And Bold Johnson's going to join us from Park City. He is a historian, not the official historian. He's just one of many people with stories to tell, a history that he personally keeps of the area. And we'll talk with him about this. This was a section of Park City that we were in a number of years ago. And Bold, grateful for you to take time out of your busy night to be with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I don't know what I can help you with, but let's see what we can do.
All right. Do you know that part of Park City we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the northern part of the city. It's up above the ramp there, I think. I'm not anywhere near Park City. I'm a crank phone caller.
Sorry.
Will you find out who you got on the phone before you put him through?
I thought this was the guy.
The guy said he was a historian.
Well, isn't that nice? He said he was a historian. I'm sorry, I'm not the guy. I'm just a crank caller.
Boy, you guys are really losing your touch. You too, Phil, for you to take a call like that.
Anyway, so we went to Park City. Forget about the historian. We went to Park City.
Well, you've got guys coming in here and announcing and then wandering, coming in with a bottle of wine and then leaving.
Right. We should probably just lock the door. And so we went to Park City, and we were on our way up to the broadcast center when, lo and behold, there was this building. I don't know how we found out about it, but it was a place that had at one time been a brothel. And it was right there at the top of this street that was on an incline. Park City itself is, as you might imagine, any town there in the Midwest. It's a place that has hills and swales, and it's a very interesting city to drive in, never mind walk in. And so there we were, and this person, whoever it was, do you remember who it was that was talking to us?
I know who it was. It was the man from the local Salt Lake City station.
Yes, I forgot this chap's name. He was with his wife, very nice people that were showing us around the area. He was from one of the local, he was from our affiliate in Salt Lake City. And they said that place used to be a brothel.
Yes, and when he said it, do you remember what I said? I said, my God, that's the feeling that now I understand the feeling I got.
Now you understand the feeling that you, I don't remember that. No, I don't.
You don't remember? I had a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, when we went by this building, I had this feeling, and I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, Bud?
See, he's already making faces.
Well,
what are you going to say?
I had the feeling that I was being fondled.
Oh, for God's sake, Margaret, is that, what are you, are you psychic to any ghost that wants to cop to get the cheap feel? What?
Did I say that I'm psychic to that?
Well, you're talking about now, you're driving. You didn't tell me this at the time.
Well, what am I going to do, Phil? Blurt out in the car? You want me to blurt that out in the car?
What are you going to blurt out in the car?
Oh, my God, I feel a hand between my legs.
Well,
probably going to think it's Mr. Hendry. That would be bad.
Yes, exactly. And I don't want anyone to think that. You and I were in the back seat along with your wife, Maria. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. All right, I understand.
Yes, I'm not going to blurt that out. Oh, God, I feel a hand between my legs and one down the back of my panties. I'm not going to say that.
So you're telling me that as we were driving by this brothel in Park City, you got fondled by a ghost?
Did I say...
Yeah,
pretty much, Mr. Dwayne, that's what you're saying.
Well, Margaret, I've got to agree with him. In so many words, yes.
I know that that's what it sounds... I didn't say that a ghost fondled me. But there was some kind of kinetic memory, some sort of a poltergeister-esque memory. Okay?
All right.
Now, this is a very real thing, Phil. If you read up on the psychic kind of stuff, whatever it is, I don't know. What are you looking at?
Yeah, get it right.
Never mind about that, okay?
Look, Margaret, don't worry about how he's looking at you.
When he gives me that bug-eyed look. So anyway, I felt as if I was in the presence of...
a guy that was dead that had his hand on your pants.
But where is that screwdriver when I need it?
Hey, come on, watch it.
Well?
Bud, shut up. Now, you were talking to us in the car about feeling unwell, as I remember.
Yes.
But I had no idea it had anything to do with a ghost with its hand.
Did I say with a ghost?
Well, then what is it going to be, Margaret, if there's something with its hand between your legs and down the, quote, back of your panties?
My God, you make everything vulgar, don't you? A moment like that that could be studied by psychic researchers, and you turn it into a penthouse letter to the editor. Do you see what you do? Are you looking at that, Phil?
Margaret?
No. I just want to... are you stopping down and looking at your behavior?
I didn't say the words that were said. You did. I'm quoting you.
Margaret, he's quoting. You're the one that said you felt... all right, so it wasn't a ghost. But you felt the hand of a dead... was it dead?
What was what dead?
Whatever had its hand down your pants.
I didn't say it was a ghost.
Well, then what has a hand that isn't a ghost?
Have you ever heard of the disembodied? Have any of you?
The disembodied? No, I haven't.
You? No. The disembodied are the disembodied yet intelligent factors that make up a human being, and they can be perceived as the hand, the head, the foot. That's why many people have reported seeing heads floating down hallways.
Is that a head that's it's a disembodied head?
No, it's disembodied.
Is it part of a person?
Not really.
Well, what is it?
It's a head that can speak, and in this case, a hand that could...
Why did the hand grab... did the hand grab a hold?
Yes, the hand, if you will, got a handful.
All right, so this is a hand that doesn't necessarily belong to a human, because it's not a ghost. It's just a disembodied spirit hand?
Don't get smart, Phil.
Well, what do you want me to call it? Is it a spirit hand, or what is it?
What do you call it?
It is the disembodied hand.
That knows enough to squeeze your ass.
That knows... yes.
All right.
See, I'm going to have to get an expert on... could you get Dr. Sadler, please, or...
No. Dr. Sadler is out of town.
We'll get Dr. Tarner or someone. I need a researcher, and I need one now.
All right, let's get either Dr. Ron Tarner or the gentleman from Tupelo. I forget what his name was. No, he had the primate house. We'll find somebody. We want a psychic researcher. That's who we've got to have.
Yes, a psychic researcher or my husband, Frank. Either one will do.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show with this discussion, or not, as the case may be. We had some weather today we're going to tell you a little bit about, only because it was so freakishly warm. I mean, I got up this morning, and it might as well have been the middle of summer. I'm not kidding you. Now, I know that I'm not trying to rub it in. I know there's a lot of folks that have just been through some very serious and very nasty weather across this country. It's been nothing but heartache and headache. But I'm telling you, it's just a goofy, kooky kind of a year. And if there was no such thing as a discussion on global climate change, I'm sure that's all we would say, that it's just a goofy, kooky year. Nonetheless, you know, we have this global climate change discussion, and so we're, you know, so we sort of put it into that context. I will tell you this. I don't believe for a minute. I do believe in global climate change. I do. I believe that it is, it's a real thing. It could very well be a part of a normal cycle. It could very well be influenced by what man is doing on this planet. I don't think there's anything to be afraid of there. I think we change our habits and we do things a little bit differently. But I don't think that we are, quote, apocalyptic. You know, I don't think it's an apocalyptic, you know, it's not an end of times or end of days scenario. And there's been a lot of panic about that, which I don't appreciate. But I do believe that it exists.
So you don't think this is some kind of a liberal agenda?
No, General, we got to get off the liberal agenda thing. Now, I will tell you one thing that bothers me is that the United States has been singled out as the country that is the most the one that should be indicted the most for this. I understand we have a larger than we have a larger carbon footprint than we should have given our population. I also understand that we've been reducing our carbon footprint significantly over a lot of other countries. Anyway, we'll be right back here, Margaret, talking about the ghost hand that was grabbing her ass.
Shut his...
All right, watch it. We'll be right back here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show on philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Do you have the TuneIn app? With the TuneIn app, you can hear our show anywhere, live, 7 to 10 Pacific time. Get the TuneIn app. Find the Phil Hendry channel. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online at philhendryshow.com, of course, is our video cast right now, our live video cast of the show, and we are on TuneIn. If you'd like a live listen to our radio show, if you are not listening right now by way of a radio station, maybe you're picking it up on your fillings. I don't know. Maybe you're watching the video cast, but you'd like an audio-only version. TuneIn. That's right. TuneIn is the place to go. And then tomorrow, of course, we have the podcast, which is available of our show each and every day. Nice to have you with us. 855-500-7445. Phil Hendry here, Margaret Gray, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. We have Dr. Ron Tarner with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, we've been talking here about the paranormal. This has got nothing to do with the astronomy or astrophysics. Although I have to ask you something, because I saw your name, I think it was on a special on black holes.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, Phil, the black hole phenomenon has been studied since the 18th century, when it was first written about by a couple of French physicists. It was actually the theory of one physicist who believed that, I forget the man's name now.
You talk about Marilyn?
Who is that?
This is General Shaw, sir.
I don't know. I don't believe I know who you are. Are you a doctor?
No, sir. I'm a United States retired U.S. general.
Oh, you're a retired U.S. general. Well, I'm a physicist, so that separates the two of us as to our area of knowledge.
All right, that's fine. It just, you know, we'll let you, you know, do what you do. It's just the general was trying to...
I was only trying to help out there.
Right, I don't need the help.
All right, fine. Let's not have an argument. We get arguments around here a lot, and I'd rather not have that, okay?
I'm not trying to give anyone an argument, Phil. I'm just telling you what I'm telling the general there, and that is that I'm a physicist, and I understand astrophysics as well as these kind of phenomena far better than a retired United States Army general. I'm sure he understands that.
No, I know, but he was just simply trying to give you the name.
Yes, he had the name of this 18th century physicist.
Excuse me, who am I speaking with now?
This is Margaret Gray.
Well, how many people am I going to be talking to tonight, Phil?
You've got me, and there's a panel of people, you know.
Yes, but who is the expert?
You.
All right. I had the general, and I had her.
This is not a her. This is Margaret Gray.
I forgive me, Margaret Gray. I know you've got two other guys there that are not anywhere near as even intelligent as Ms. Gray is.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm saying that in the relative overall hierarchy...
All right, let's everybody just stop. Everyone just stop. I'm going to be the only one that says anything here so that it gets asked and answered properly. I don't want anybody butting in. I don't want anyone giving me their opinion. I will ask the questions. Understood?
You're not talking to me, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm talking to my other four folks here. Do you guys understand?
I understand perfectly, Phil. I was simply trying...
All right. You?
Yeah.
You?
You.
You?
Who's you? Me? Margaret Gray?
Yeah, Margaret Gray?
Yes, I understand.
All right.
Okay, now, the black hole show that I was watching, and we'll get to the disembodied hand. The black hole show that I was watching was very interesting. The theory being that black holes are actually a part of the creation of matter. Was this a part of your thinking?
As a matter of fact, it is, Phil, and the The idea that black holes create matter as well as destroy matter was first theorized by myself, along with Dr. Cumberton, and then there were two young people who had written a paper at Rutgers University, and they claimed they were first, and then I remembered that I had read their paper before I wrote mine, and I admitted to it. And
all right, so in other words, you didn't come up with this.
I know, I thought I did, but I'd read their paper. So I came up with it independent. You have to understand, I didn't plagiarize. When they said to me, oh, you read someone else's paper and got these ideas, I said, so that's where it came from. You see? Oh, so what, you don't believe me? Goodbye.
Boy, you're batting 1,000 a night. You really are.
You know, Phil, if you could get a guest on the line.
You know, this guy Tarner, I knew when I saw this show, it said Dr. Ron Tarner, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought he'd been involved in the plagiarizing of a paper on black holes, and yes, he was. He just admitted to that. So why would they have his name at the bottom of that particular show?
Are you sure it was Ron Tarner?
Yes. Yes.
But I don't know, man.
Well, what channel was it?
I thought it was on one of the shows like Science, the Science Channel. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry I asked him about that because it made him hang up, but then again, maybe his theories on disembodied hands wouldn't be all that great either, given how he is likely to plagiarize material in that area. And I'm not even sure that we should even be talking about this because it sounds pretty far out to me. So...
Well, now you're saying that I'm seeing things or feeling things, right?
Bobby, I'm feeling things, yeah.
I think you're feeling things.
Well, no, I'm not feeling things. Yes, I am feeling things, and it's not my imagination.
All right, well, so in any event, we were there in Park City, and there was that haunted house, and the only reason I brought that whole thing up is because of the old neighborhood that we were in Highland Park.
Yes, and I saw that brothel, and I felt what I thought was a ghost of some kind. I was disgusted as soon as he told me it was a brothel.
When we went by that place, though, you didn't feel... What?
Dr. Turner.
Well, I don't know. He called back.
You know, we got more... Dr. Turner.
I'm going to give you a second chance. I just thought I would tell you...
No, you're not giving me any second chance. I'm giving you a second chance. You hung up on me. Now, you said you plagiarized that paper on black holes. Why was your name at the bottom of that special that I was watching the other night?
My name was at the bottom of what special?
I had a disc that was, I know what it was. It was a Science Channel disc that I got. You gave me that, didn't you?
Well, I don't remember.
Was that the Science Channel?
That was a package you got from Colorado.
Did you give me... He gave me a disc. Are you putting your name now on Science Channel shows?
I didn't put my name on anything. If my name was on something, then it most likely belonged there. I can tell you...
Did you put your name on a Science Channel documentary that I got on disc in the mail from Cloverdale, Colorado, instead of... Is that what's going on here now? You know what? You're going to get into trouble, man, because these things have copyrights. And there is proof of ownership.
I can tell you that I didn't put my name on there in any seriousness other than as a gag. Look, if Dr. Stephen Hawking could do it...
You and Hawking, man. Every time Hawking gets off a good joke, you think you got to one-up him. So now you're putting your name on black hole documentaries and sending them to me. And I'm on the air saying that these are things that you have... These are theories that you've come up with, things that have originated with you, and you plagiarized a paper. Do you know what kind of a jackass that makes me look like?
A bigger one than you do now?
Isn't that funny? How'd you like me to hang up on you?
Well, Phil, I...
All right, yeah.
You hung up on him.
Yes, I did. It's about time. It's about time I hang up on some people around here. And if he calls back, no, I don't want to talk to him, okay? You understand? And the next time you get anything in the mail from him, and you'll know it's from him because it has an observatory logo on it.
What's that look like?
A telescope.
Oh.
You know, just be very suspicious as to what is in it, all right?
Well, this was a documentary that had been sent to you by way of him from the Science Channel on black holes, and his name was on it.
His name was on the credits. Now he's telling me it was a joke. The point being here, folks, that this program that I was watching was pretty interesting, and it had a great many different new ideas as to black holes and why they exist. And one of them is that it creates matter as opposed to just destroying it. We think of black holes as being these gigantic drains, you know, these huge cosmic drains that just suck everything down. And all of that stuff is just destroyed. And God knows where it goes. You know, there's something called the singularity. I don't know what that is. Don't even tell me. But they say that that is a point in which all time, all space-time just changes. Some weird thing in the middle of a black hole. But now what they're saying is they believe that these black holes are kind of almost like recycling centers. Recycles matter and spits out new stars. Now, if that's the case, is there ever really going to be such a thing as the end of the universe?
Well, but wait just a second, because if it's a fact, now I don't understand a lot of this, but if it's a fact that this is only one universe in many.
Say, get a load of her, will you?
Yeah, where'd you learn all this stuff, Miss Gray?
I know things.
All right, well, we'll talk about it here when we come on the other side of this, when we come back. On the other side, don't give me the look, okay?
You're the one that said it.
When we come back from the commercial break on the other side of this, and we'll get on Dr. Jim Sadler to discuss with us more, who has a far more credible view of science, a far more, I would say, a credible opinion of science than Dr. Tarner, a guy who's hung up on one-upping Dr. Stephen Hawking in the annual astronomers' joke competition.
You gotta be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's a sad story, and there's more to tell. We'll be back here on the... I'm not kidding you, man. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Anyway, welcome back to World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. How are we doing there with our video cast?
Yeah, looking okay, Mr. Henry. It was kind of herky-jerky there for a minute. Yeah, it looked kind of hurdy-gurdy.
What do you mean hurdy-gurdy?
I noticed that we had a bit of a buffering problem there with our video cast. All right, we have Dr. Jim Sadler, who will be on the phone with us here just momentarily. And Dr. Sadler's there at his son. Are you with your son tonight doing a little bit of a hockey practice, Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, I'm here with... Tyler just came out with his team, and they're doing a skate around right now, Phil. I think the kids are just having a great time this year since we opened up this new rink.
Now, you're in San Diego?
Yes. We're actually in Ybor City, and this is where the rink is. Kids are having a good time.
Dr. Sadler, are you familiar with this new theory on black holes being the originating point of matter as well as a place where matter is swallowed and destroyed?
I am to a very, very limited degree because my specialty is pediatrics and allergies.
Hold on for a minute. Why do you have this man on?
Excuse me, who are you?
My name is Dr. Jim Sadler. I'm Dr. Galen Shaw.
Your name is General Galen Shaw.
Yes, I'm General Galen Shaw.
Oh, you're a general.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I can't ask you a question. Why are you a man who's an orthopedic...
I said I'm into pediatrics.
Well, what have you got to do with black holes?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? As long as you want to be rude about it.
I don't appreciate this language.
All right, are we going to talk like adults?
I'm going to talk like an adult.
I just wanted to know what this man's qualifications were. That's all.
He's qualified insofar as he's done studies on this, and I'm not saying he's an expert, but he knows more about it than the rest of us. So, Dr. Sadler, tell me if you wouldn't mind. What this new theory is, black holes being the creators of matter as well as the destroyers of it.
Right. Well, the idea is that a black hole, as we know, Phil, is where a great deal of matter gets sucked up into a big, giant black hole. Okay? And then it goes down into the black hole and gets all you know, messed up and everything, and then get spit out, like on another side or something, I don't exactly know where, and then it becomes another, like another planet, see?
What a jackass.
Are you talking to me?
Wait. Hold on.
Well, this guy doesn't sound like he knows it. You don't sound like you know 40 cents adds up to 40 pennies. You know that?
What? I just got done telling you that...
You got done saying something I could say.
Hold on. Dr. Sadler, all right, so it churns up into this black hole and gets spit out. I thought that there was something a little bit more to it.
Well, yes, there's something more to it. What happens is that the black hole sucks down the old planet and then spins everything up and makes a new planet. Isn't that what you wanted to know about?
Yeah, I did. I just thought maybe I'd have a more scientific appraisal of it, you know?
Well, excuse me. You know, like I said, I study allergies and I'm a pediatrician.
So you're a doctor for children. You don't know anything about astrophysics?
I know more about it than you do. Did you know about it?
Dr. Sadler.
Oh, did you know about it, yes or no?
I knew about it, yeah.
You didn't know how to talk about it as good as me.
I could have explained it better than that.
Go ahead.
All right, I will. A black hole, as we all know, is like a large cosmic drain.
No.
Excuse me, but I'm going to finish. If you said I couldn't do it as good as you, I'm going to prove that I can.
All right, Phil, kick his ass. Come on.
Get us, Henry. Kick his ass.
All right. Sure you can.
Excuse me, are you two boys done?
No, I'm going to... A black hole is a large cosmic drain into which goes all the matter that is near it. It is a huge, dense a collapsed star with such dense matter that its gravity is irresistible. It is sucking stuff into the middle of it because of its the dense nature of its existence, because of this collapsed matter. And as it does...
Right, so if it...
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Jip.
Yeah.
Well, you have to let him explain, Phil.
No, I let him explain, and then he got all pissed off. So once the matter gets sucked down into the black hole, then it gets turned into...
Yeah, see, you can't do it good either.
I'll do it. I know I can do it.
No, we're not going to have a round robin here of explaining what a black hole does or can do. Thanks a lot, Dr. Sadler,
yeah.
Dr. Sadler, I appreciate it. Get back to your son's hockey practice.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that I'm getting kicked off of your program unceremoniously because I wasn't able to tell you what a black hole was? I happen to be a doctor...
Thank you very much again, Dr. Sadler.
You know, when you hang up on people like that, Phil, it sounds like they've got had a seizure and they've just swallowed the phone.
No, it doesn't.
It does sound suspicious.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like I should have hung up on him 5 minutes before I did. The fact of the matter is, folks, that if I actually got a guy on this show who could explain to us what a black hole does and what it may also be capable of doing, in other words, it not only just destroys matter, maybe it actually creates matter. If I had somebody on this program who could actually explain that, it would take him a hell of a lot longer than 5 minutes to do it, and he would never survive the idiots that the present company accepted. Of course, the idiots that that would bedevil him in his explanation. Now, all of that having been said, it was all about old houses, and it was about an old brothel in Park City, and you getting felt up by a phantom hand, all right?
I didn't say felt up, Phil.
Well, you didn't say it, but you pretty much did. You said there was a hand between your legs and down your pants, and it was a ghost hand of some kind, and it was a brothel there in Park City, Utah, that was an old brothel.
And I don't appreciate being yelled at.
Well, I'm not yelling at you, but I'm trying to get this thing... once and for all, put to bed, if you'll pardon the expression.
Well, she's basically saying that she had a creepy feeling.
I did have a creepy feeling.
All right, fine. You had a creepy feeling. You know.
Well, you're going to blow it off?
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to blow it off. The whole reason that I even brought this up was that we were shooting at a really old neighborhood, and I really liked it. I really liked the old neighborhood. I liked the old houses. It was very weird, you know, as I mentioned to Bud, and he got scared that my head hit the ceiling there, so the people back then were smaller.
Well, yeah, that's the part that's scary. What do you mean smaller?
We're not talking about hobbits, man.
Well, these little tiny people?
No, man. People were smaller because we didn't have the nutrition that we have. We didn't have the food. We didn't have the... we weren't as healthy people back in the old days. Do you realize that back in the Middle Ages, when we talk about the knights of the round table and the guys that were, you know, fighting in wars and doing battle and chopping off heads, these guys were only like 5'7"?
You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Well, that, boy, that's a real wake-up call, isn't it?
No, wait a minute. I want you to... They were only 5'7".
Maybe 5'6", 5'7", on average, yeah.
Well, didn't they have tall men?
Oh, they had tall men, yeah. There were tall men. There were men of 6 foot, 6'1". But for the most part, the people were smaller. On average, they were smaller. You go to a museum and take a look at the armor that they have. Take a look at the armor that they had made for the average person, the average knight. And you're talking about a guy that's like 5'5". So, you know, think about that one. But yeah, there were tall people. They just were a lot rarer than they are today. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with more on this fascinating discussion of knights, old houses, and, of course, let's not forget Margaret with the phantom hand down her pants.
You're going to burn in hell for that.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we're on TuneIn. That's TuneIn.
Woo!
Pardon us. The TuneIn app available, you know, in the App Store. So go check it out. That's the TuneIn app, and that gives you the live Phil Henry Show each and every night.